Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, March 7th, 2024. Pastor Paul Talberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so they too might share in the joy Jesus won for them. Here's Pastor.
You're going to be hearing what God says about this again and again. And God willing, you'll be hearing it from my lips and every pastor who's at this pulpit until the Lord comes back. The Lord is risen.
He is. Hallelujah.
At the end of the sermon, you're going to see something a little bit different. It's even a little bit different from us here at Good Shepherd. You're going to see visually on the screen again the plain account, just God's word, acted out for us so you can get an idea of what it must have been like 1 week after Jesus came back to life again. This is called, sometimes called Doubting Thomas Sunday. It says Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them. So he didn't believe the guys, didn't believe the women, didn't matter how long he'd been with them. So I kind of grew up having a bad feeling about Doubting Thomas. He was just not a good guy, you know. And then you find out when you read the Bible, instead of listening to your feelings, when you read the Bible, find out that Thomas was a guy who asked questions, but he did not ask questions to antagonize people. He just didn't know. He asked questions, and then when he found out the truth, he changed how he was. So the first time he told, one time he says, they're getting ready to go to Lazarus. That Jesus had on purpose missed out on Lazarus' funeral. So he tells the disciples, we got to go to see Lazarus. And his disciples say, it's dangerous back there, Lord. They're trying to kill you. And he says, no, we have to go. I have to get him back. And while they're struggling with this, and the disciples, they don't want to go. Thomas is the one who says these words. Well, let's go too, so that we may die with him. So he came to fact, well, Jesus is going to go there. It's dangerous territory. Thomas said, I'm going with him. Come on, guys. That's one of the things Thomas is known for in the scriptures. He is loyal to Jesus. When he comes face to face with the truth, he changes himself. And he follows the truth. Speaking of the truth, the other time happened when Jesus is getting ready to go suffer and die on Friday. And the disciples around the table celebrating the Lord's Supper. And as he's instituting the Lord's Supper, he tells them, I'm going to be going away. And they say, well, where are you going? He says, Jesus says, you guys know the way. And Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? It's not a question to attack Jesus. He's just saying, I need some help here, Lord. I don't know where you're going. How can we know you get there? And that's when Jesus gives these wonderful words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ah, yeah. And now there's one more time when Thomas takes a stand, asks a question that's kind of hard, seeks the truth. And that's this time, a week after. Probably he did it all week long. We don't know. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So all week long, Thomas had been troubled. All week long. He was probably a little bit angry at Peter for falling for that crazy message that those women said. And what's up with the women anyway? They should know better than that. Everyone's sad. Come on, guys. We saw him on the cross. His back was ripped raw. They pounded nails into his hands and his feet. And they're making fun of him. They're gambling for his clothes. ah, guys, dead is dead. So Thomas, just so you know, Thomas had been with Jesus for, what, 3 years? Part of his confirmation class for 3 years. He had seen Jesus do miracles. Oh, by the way, he had just been there and seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus had been dead and rotting for a week. And yet here he is doubting. Because for a second, a week long, he had trusted his eyes. He had trusted his reason. He probably thought something like this. Well, sure, if he was alive, he could raise the dead, but now what's going to happen now? He's dead. Nobody raises himself back to life. Only God could do that. So he had seen Jesus feed 5,000 men and the families. He had seen Jesus walk on water. He had seen Jesus cast out demons. I'm not going to believe him. Unless I see the nail marks. So what we have here is someone who is just having a really hard time coming to grips with what's right in front of him. What is in front of him? All of his hopes are dead. He had been banking on Jesus being the forgiver, the Messiah, who's going to restore everything to himself, and now he was dead. And in that moment of anguish and sorrow, he forgot. He forgot what Jesus said. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. He forgot. So, if you are one of those doubters who's had occasion where your life is just full of bad stuff happening and one thing after another, you're just, there's no time to even breathe, and you're wondering, man, does God even care? Does he even know what's going on? Remember this. God recorded this so you and I will be encouraged and reminded of who he is. What does he do? He appears again. First words out of Jesus' mouth, again, peace be with you. So here's Thomas looking for some answers, and Jesus confronts him with the truth. He comes right up to him and he says, Thomas, here, take your finger, put him into mine. Go ahead. Yeah, right here. Yeah. And then take your hand, put it in my side. And then what does he say? Stop doubting. And believe. He doesn't scold him. He doesn't make fun of him in front of the other disciples. He doesn't lift up the other disciples and say, oh, man, you guys are great. You showed Thomas how to do it. No, he's addressing Thomas. That's how God is. Each of us is different. Our struggles are always different. Satan is attacking us every which way. Each of us needs God's personal attention. And here he is giving Thomas. Thomas, put your finger here. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas says, the only thing you can do. What's the only thing you can do when you're confronted with someone who is obviously victorious over death? That means all of his promises are true. If Jesus can raise himself back to life again, then every sin I've ever done is actually gone. It's paid for in full. That means that God is on my side. That means God is watching over me. That means that everything that comes into my life, no matter if it looks bad or feels bad, is there as a blessing from God. Whoa. The early Christians, when they got that, whenever they were whipped and beaten because they believed in Jesus, were told that they went back home rejoicing. Yay, thank you so much, Lord. They were not thanking God for the beating. They were thanking that they were counted worthy of being a believer who was steadfast in faith, not doubting. Now, we're not kind of like that. Remember last week, the women, they were afraid. They went to the disciples, they were afraid. The word last week was, remember, he's going to be there just as he said, just as he said, just as. And we keep forgetting. So I'm telling you again, read your Bible. Don't take my word for it. Open up and read it for yourself. Just this morning, someone came out and had a question about the Bible because they had heard something wrong or read something incorrectly, and they wanted to find out what it was. I didn't go explaining a great big thing. I just told them what Jesus said. You and I need to do that again and again. Get to know your Bible really well. Get to know that angel's message. Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. And that is still echoing today. So now, I'm going to stop now with not even an amen, because I want you to see what actually happened on that first day of the second week of Jesus' life here on earth.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.